Dicky Six! Woo! Super Bowl, here we go!
Start the show like that, huh?
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Uh-oh.
Good morning, everybody. Have a happy, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley.
He's so happy.
Listen, I did a lot of reflecting off of yesterday's show, which was highly entertaining.
Contentious may be the word I would use.
Well, if you're listening, I'm sure it was fun. It was people screaming and yelling at each other. And it was irrational. And so I went home and I contemplated quitting. I contemplated moving to a far, far away place. And then I started to get out of myself, right? Because you're taught when you're in any kind of quandary to look out of yourself and to look at yourself critically. And so I said, what's my biggest flaw here? And then it dawns on me. Jason Mertedis.
I'm your biggest flaw?
No.
Just making sure.
I succumb to one of the seven deadly sins.
Oh, this is like from the movie, right?
All right. And in fact, it is probably the worst. And they say it's the gateway through how all other sin enters the mortal soul.
Okay.
It is the sin of pride. Pride was the sin that changed angels into devils. It's the foremost of the seven deadly sins, hubris. It is the excessive belief in one's own abilities or opinions with the individual's recognition of the grace of God. It is also called vanity. And so, it's me championing my own opinion for Nick Foles that I could miss for Nick Foles, for Carson Wentz.
Freudian slip.
That, it's completely Freudian slip. That I could miss what would be a great story.
That you're going to overlook it. That you're not going to be able to enjoy it.
That, like, what would happen if he went in to Los Angeles as an 11-point underdog.
Oh, my God.
And won.
It's happened in the NFL.
Yes.
It's not impossible.
Do you remember the game? What was the game where the Eagles beat the Patriots?
Yeah, it was in December. There were four games left in the season. Very similar situation.
And who was the quarterback? It wasn't five. Or at that point.
No. That was a Chip Kelly team. That was Michael. It wasn't even Michael Vick, was it?
No, there was another one.
Was that a Bradford?
This I thought was when Tim McDermott was the defensive coordinator.
All right, so that would have been around 2011.
And it was one of these it was when they had the wide nine. I mean, Andy was the coach.
Okay.
Because I remember thinking it was the year the Giants won the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It was the year the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Their second.
Maybe their first.
Hmm.
And Jim was the defensive coordinator because that game, I remember Spags talking about that game, how he got a lot from Jim because the Eagles played him so tough.
It must have been the second because wasn't the first Giant one the one where they faced an undefeated Patriots team?
Yeah.
So the Eagles couldn't have beat the Patriots.
In the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I think
it's
the second.
Tough? Did they play him tough?
No, they. I think they beat him.
Okay. Anyway, this could happen. This could happen. So I don't know. I'm doing my own disservice, not only to the audience, but to myself.
Yeah, you only live once. You're not going to get another roll at it.
So, you know, why resist it? Just because I think Carson Wentz is being A, scapegoated, and B, kind of tossed aside.
Hmm. Very interesting. All right, now let me ask you a couple questions.
Now, I do believe he's being scapegoated. I will say that.
I agree with that to an extent.
By the fan base.
I think there's a portion of the fan base that is doing that. But let me ask you this. How do you plan to deal with one of the seven deadly sins that you're afflicted with? Do you just...
I have to fight it. I'm going to root for Nick Foles.
Are you going to burn some sage?
I don't know. Who do I got to talk to? All right. Oh, I have to fight it within, right? The devil's at you.
So you got to get like a priest in here to do an exorcism.
Your
head's not going to spin around and spit up split pea soup, is it?
Who knows? Maybe.
I hope not.
It's the gateway in which you lose your soul.
Well, here's the other. That's the problem. It's the gateway to all the other seven deadly sins you said.
Right. So next thing you know, you're going to be hanging from a hook.
That's possible any day. Not a seven deadly sin. That's a probability.
But no, seriously, the pride in what you believe is a downfall. It's a sin. And we talked about it yesterday about the politicizing stuff and how in the political landscape, it's my way or the highway.
And
nothing gets done because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's divisive.
Yeah,
and
divisions there, yeah.
And it causes angst and problems, and people have issues with one another. And it's all due to pride.
Yeah, and long gone are the days of, hey, I respect your opinion.
Right.
No, it's, you're an effing idiot.
Right.
I mean, those days are so long gone. The social media world that we live in and the on-demand world we live in now has given a voice to people that probably should have never got a voice.
Yeah, but by the way, the game I was referencing, thanks to my man Scotty Rego from the Sixers, A.J. Feely almost won the game. He threw a pick at the end of the game in the end zone.
This has got to be 06?
It was the year the first Giants Super Bowl, so whatever that was.
Okay.
06, yeah.
All right, so they're all this one.
But they were like some enormous underdog.
He was the third string quarterback.
Yeah, like some enormous underdog, and the Eagles almost beat him.
Wow.
And so it's possible for Nick Foles to go in there and win.
Well, no question about it. And one of the things I want to try to do today.
I don't want to miss it, Jason. I don't want to be on the other side of it.
Well, yeah, because if something magical does happen.
Yes, and it's magic.
And then all of a sudden you go, man, one of the greatest sports stories happened. And my stubbornness, or whatever you want to call it.
It goes back to, pride, hubris, vanity.
So you asking for a little help from the audience today?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I think we need common ground.
Instead of saying, 10 Hail Marys, I'll say 10 fight songs.
There you go.
But
I think what we need to do today, because yesterday was tough, and I'm looking at social media and it's tough, but I see some people rolling out some very sound logic, and it kind of goes like this. It's, hey, just because I like Carson Wentz doesn't mean I think Nick Foles is inept. Just because you like, you like chocolate ice cream doesn't mean vanilla ice cream you think is the devil, to use a stupid analogy. But people take it that way. So I want to find like the common ground today, because if Carson is in fact done for the rest of this season, this isn't just this week, it's going to be next, and it's going to be the week after that. And then depending how it plays out, if the playoffs are involved or not, there's going to be the debate that heads into the offseason. So I think today we need to find a common ground between the people that love Wentz and the people that love Foles and see if we can bridge that gap.
Perfect. I'll be, one of your projects.
Case study.
Yeah, I'll be I'm a lab rat.
You're my thesis. 610-632.
Well, I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fall into one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into this debate anymore of, well, he won the MVP. What has Carson done? Because I think that as a fan base, we need to be smarter than those on the surface statements.
I would agree.
Carson Wentz is not an elite quarterback yet. He has talent that could take him to elite status, but there is a ladder, if you will, that you have to go through to become an elite quarterback. Part of it's tenure. Part of it is accomplishment. Part of it is dramatic finishes and leadership. There's all different kinds of elements to being an elite quarterback. But it takes time.
Right. And this is a separate argument because it's about the how good Foles is. Mm-hmm. Like, I really respect, obviously, what he did last year.
Tremendous.
But just because he won a Super Bowl doesn't make him better than Dan Marino, who didn't win the Super Bowl.
Thank you. Very black and white
because
way to
that,
look at it.
Because that's what we get as an argument, mm-hmm. which is, well, Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. Oh.
It was the MVP. And Dan Marino never won one, so what has he done?
Right. Which is absurd, right?
And, yeah, and it's obvious. It's a team sport. I think a lot of times we lose sight of that.
So, and this doesn't take away anything from Foles, who was amazing in mm-hmm. that game.
You're looking at the board, aren't you?
Pat from Maryland. Anthony has lost his mind.
Well, we'll find out.
I may.
Yeah, 610-632.
You might be hearing the ramblings of a crazy man.
610-632-0975. That's the number. First caller today will score a tub of Goldenberg's peanut chews. And we'll get to the phones coming up right after this. 610.
Mind you, two hideous losses that we got to discuss.
Yeah, I'm trying to forget both of them. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, exclusively on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What up? Oh. All right. Lost in this, Jason, before we open up the phones, and I can't wait to talk to Pat and Marilyn. The idea that Wentz is shut down, and that's what it appears like, right? That's the players are going like, wow, man, yeah. And like, they don't want to say anything. But like it all signs point to him being shut down for the rest of the year, and so this back thing, is it really debilitating, or is it an excuse just to shut him down? Because if it was really debilitating, why in the world would Doug Peterson run a read option with him? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you keep running it? And all this idea about him being hurt in week 7 and week 8 with a back, if that was the case, why is he in the game when they're down, when they're getting blown out against New Orleans?
Yeah, why was he not, when they're down 48-7, he's still out there trotting them out late in the fourth quarter.
I mean, there's
a lot of things that don't pass the smell test.
Like, we're not stupid.
Yeah. My theory, you want it real quick? Here you go. I don't care if you want it, you're getting it. Here's the deal. I think that this is an overabundance of caution. I do think there's probably some spasms, but he could probably play through it. But I think their analytics department's down there going, hey, Doug, here's the deal. And they're running all the scenarios. This is all the things that need to happen, and here's the probability of those things happening, whether it's the Carolina Panthers, who they don't have a tie break with, Minnesota, who they don't have a tie break with, and all these things. And they look at it and they say, here's the probability. Now, we need to get to this offseason and get Carson Wentz signed. And we want Carson to go into this offseason training for the 2019 NFL season, not rehabbing. When you're back, when any area is weak in your core or your knees, and your body overcompensates. And that's when you're at risk for injury. Now, remember when Chip was here? Chip said, after so many reps, we have to give you a rest, because if we don't, when your body's fatigued,
right,
that's when injuries can take place. Same theory here. He's going to be shut down. They're going to move forward with Nick Foles and probably Sudfeld for some of the action in the final three games. And they're going to go into the offseason because they already know, okay, this season's a lost season. And they have their alibi. They have all the injuries to blame it on, from Jay Ajayi, the cornerbacks, and everybody else. The excuse is there, but they're still going to deliver the fan base ahead, and Jim Schwartz will not be back. That's one. The other guy that's not going to be back, or at least in the position that he's in, is going to be Mike Rowe. Because I think that when he said, we're having a hard time assimilating Golden Tate into the offense, I think that was his death knell. And whether it's DeFilippo or another offensive coordinator, I don't know.
Boy, it doesn't sound like DeFilippo is that they're climbing for DeFilippo.
It sounds to me like they're distancing themselves from DeFilippo in a lot of ways.
Well, you saw the Marcus Hayes piece that the people were saying that unnamed sources saying that you know he was an egomaniac, self-promoter, and all this other stuff.
He may be all that. I consider the source of who wrote that. But anyway.
He's a good journalist. He knows what he's doing.
Let me know when I find one that's good. But anyway, that's a whole different agenda for me. But that being said, I think it's an overabundance of caution, and they're just shutting him down.
All right. I can buy that. Mm-hmm. I can buy the fact that there's caution. I can buy the fact that they don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah, and apparently they're doing more tests and they're going to get more information. Doug's going to talk tomorrow.
I'm not talking about the physical nature. There's something wrong.
Yeah, and it may stem from the coming back from the injury, from the knee not being strong enough.
Could.
Maybe he tweaked it.
It could be where he's not planting. Well, mm-hmm. I've been talking about his footwork. I mean, his footwork.
We still need to get Jaws on, by the way.
It's not there.
I want to hear from Jaws because I want to know what he sees in the tape. He'll sit there, and you watch film, pause it. Why is the ball release coming out? Why his body's in this position?
He's the best at it, yeah.
And Jaws will go, this is where you straighten your back.
Yeah, he's the best at that.
Yep, we got to talk to Jaws. So, but let's get to the phones, Ann. 610-632-0975.
Don't let me lose track. I can't believe the Flyers lost that game.
Oh, I can't either. It was a bad night last night.
I mean, that was horrible. And
Minute and eight, they gave up 2 goals to tie it.
No Jimmy Butler, no excuse to lose to the Nets again.
They're 1-2 against the Nets.
If it's not for Jimmy's buzzer beater, they would have lost all 3 games.
Yeah, you're right.
Spencer Dinwiddie just...
39 last night?
And there's something that infuriated me about that game last night that I'm going to get
into. The Sixer game.
Yep.
Want to see if somebody can guess it?
Okay.
All right. If you can guess it, we'll come up with a prize for you. Yeah. But right now, we got to give away the tub of Goldenberg's peanut chews to AB. Avalon Brian starts us off on the midday show on the Fanatic. How you doing, Brian?
Good morning, guys. Anthony, I must remind you of something. That's a quote from one of my favorite movies.
What's that, bro?
That is a fight. You might feel a slight sting. That's pride bleeping with you. Bleep pride. Pride only hurts. It never helps.
That's right. I was stricken with a bad case of pride yesterday.
Go to your side, and let's believe in St. Nick once again. It's the Christmas season. Let's get on board.
See, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful sentiment.
It's the last chance we're going to have any fun with this team. I get it. It's probably the longest shot of long shots. But can you imagine going up to Christmas week if he does pull off the miracle in L.A. again? Can you imagine?
I know.
Allow yourself to believe, guys.
And you know what, AB? That's why I went home late yesterday and really needed to go deep in the thought. Because all I kept thinking is, I would miss this, one of the most amazing stories, should it happen, because of what? Because of it's a deadly sin.
Nothing but trouble with that deadly sin, Anthony. We don't need it.
You're right, AB. Thank you, Father, AB.
That's right. And you guys brought up it. Yeah, let's not go too far.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys brought up a good point about this divide, right? And Jason said it with politics. And, you know, you're either right or you're wrong. I don't know. Why can't we look at these quarterbacks? I've got 2 kids. You've got 2 kids. Jason, you got 3. I can't pick who's my favorite. Why can't I support them both and go, you know what? I dig it. Whoever's in there, I'm rooting for laundry anyway. I'm good with it. And, you got to trust what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great analogy to use the kids, because if you are devoted to the laundry, then thus they should be treated as though, you know.
Yeah, your kids are devoted to the surname. If they're yours, you can't differentiate or favor one over the other. And when you have multiples like you and I do, and a lot of people do, they're so different that very much like Wentz and Foles, they're very different. But they're all under the same umbrella of the surname. In this case, the Eagles. It's very interesting. Okay.
Hey, B, nice job.
Some of his best work, frankly. Let's go to Kurt in Princeton on the Fanatic. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Kurt.
First, I wanted to mention a statistic, and then I want to talk a little bit about Nick Foles. But first, the statistic that's really driving me wild is the number 7. It's how many carries Josh Adams had in the first game against Dallas. and the second game against Dallas, and the guy's averaging 4 to 5 yards. How can, in the realm of the NFL right now, a coach can only give his number one running back 7 carries, lose the games, and then not follow up and lose his job? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, what I'm more upset was not using Sproles in the run game.
Anyone run the ball more than
Kurt, I felt the perfect game plan was to run. You got Sproles. You're not trying to save him for anything. You're trying to win that game, and he's your most effective guy between the tackles because he's quick to the hall and he's so small. He's hard to tackle.
And he's fresh. He hasn't played in a while. He's fresh.
So I didn't understand. I thought Doug's game plan was horrible, to be quite frank.
And the game wasn't getting away from the Eagles. It's not like they were behind by 4 touchdowns.
I know.
If they controlled the clock and controlled the minutes of the game, what was it, 2-1 or something like that, the ratio?
Yeah, you're right on, brother.
And then also Nick Foles. I've been a Nick Foles fan from the start, from the beginning of the season. He starts 1-1. He won them the Super Bowl. I understand Wentz is your guy, but you got to give Nick Foles at least 4 or 5 games, which they didn't. So I want to throw a hypothetical. Let's just say Nick Foles plays the next 3 weeks, wins all 3 weeks, and we get in the playoffs. Next year, does Nick Foles start the season, or do they go back to Wentz again?
Well, Wentz is going to be 100% healthy. Anth, I'll save you here. I don't want you to go crazy. Right?
No, I'm trying to have an open mind about this.
There's no scenario for me, Kurt, that if Carson Wentz is 100% healthy this coming season in 2019 and he trains all offseason and OTAs and mandatory, that he's not your starter. I don't care if Nick Foles throws 17 touchdown passes and wins another Super Bowl.
You don't care if he throws 17 touchdowns?
Well, I'd love it if he did.
You'll bench him?
Yes. Because my future is Carson Wentz.
Yes, your future is Carson Wentz. We'll let the future come after we give Nick Foles the third Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz?
I think they are pretty even, in my opinion.
Wow. Now, I love talking to you because you're a smart dude. You always come up with something good. You're also logical. If I said to you that 20 out of 20 NFL people would tell you that it's not close, would that mean anything to you? Like what?
Not at all, because just because I don't work for the NFL doesn't mean I don't understand football.
No, but these people are high-level experts that look at film and everything, and they've made it their life.
But you don't think you could be wrong? Or are you being the seven deadly sins?
I could be wrong.
That's nipping at your heels?
Well, let's go right here. Nick Foles is a 500 quarterback this year, and Wentz is a sub 500 quarterback.
He played 2 games. Come on.
Kurt, that is a ridiculous argument. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
I'm trying today. Because I want to be led into the right path.
To be able to enjoy this.
I
want
to be led to the right path, and I'm not resistant. I'm just. I don't believe that Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz. And I don't believe that Nick Foles should be the quarterback going forward.
Mm-hmm. Nick Foles in his...
I mean, next year.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's shut down for this year.
He's played 51 NFL games, has Nick Foles. He has a 60.4 completion percentage. He's thrown for 10,203 yards, 62 touchdowns to 30 interceptions. And obviously, 27-2 year was a huge year for him. And his rating over his career is 87.0.
Yeah, I don't think really we need numbers.
Carson's got great numbers this year.
But this is not taken away, you know, again, when you say that, you're not taking away an incredible game in the biggest game of all time in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Look, we all love what he did. But that doesn't mean he's your franchise quarterback for me. Now, this was tweeted out last night by a guy named Drew Davis. I just screenshotted this, Ant. Through 40 NFL games, career games, Peyton Manning in his first 40 games threw for 10,312 yards, 70 touchdowns, 52 picks, 60% completion percentage, and a team record of 22-18. Through 40 games of Carson Wentz, he's thrown for 10,153 yards, so just about 120 yards less. 70 touchdowns, same amount. 28 picks, significantly less interceptions. 63% completion percentage, 3 points higher. And a 23-17 record, one game better. Now, am I saying he's Peyton Manning? No, I'm not. And Manning's teams when he first got into the league weren't very good. But and stats don't always tell the story, as they haven't this year for Carson. I mean, his quarterback rating is 102.2 on the season.
Yeah, actually, those numbers lie.
Yeah, because you use your eyeballs. And you know that in the first half and into the third quarter, he wasn't right. But so you can't just recite numbers. And with Foles, I know the big number is that he was an MVP of a Super Bowl. I get it. I do. But you got to use the eyes tell you the better quarterback is number 11. Jay in West Philly's on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening, Jay? What's going on, brother?
What's going on, cuz? Cuz, I'm proud of you this week, man. I don't know if it's just for the show, but I'm proud of you. You're actually taking a step back there.
No, no. It's never for the show. I try to be as real as possible. No,
I know. You know I mess with you, cuz.
I love
you.
I
always mess with you how you go overboard with your,
with
your quarterback. You got to let the kids breathe, man.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a suffocator. I do it to my kids.
Yo, you was the same way with Kyle.
I got news for you. Go back and read Philly Magazine 2000-2001. Go read the Inquirer in 1999. I was like that with five.
That's why I always mess with you, cuz. I mean, I ain't got a lot of money for charity, but I got to sit down and see where you and him went off track. But
yeah, I'll give you the real story.
All right. Well, look, I think, how much do you think human nature actually played in the thing with Carson Wentz? Because we know a quarterback is an ego position, man. And for him to not be on the field for that Super Bowl, do you think he was pressing this year on some things?
You know what's funny, though? I think going into it, you have that thought.
Yeah,
but when you're playing, when you're playing a game, though, it's all instinctual. Like, you're not thinking, oh, my God, I got to get back to the Super Bowl in week four in Washington, you know?
I know, cuz, but I think that's why he rushed himself back. I think, like, one or two more games, he might have been felt. But, you know, he came back this year. I think he'll be all right. I want him to be great.
Yeah.
It's just it's like little things I pointed out to you this year. He's going to be a franchise quarterback, but because I know the defense and everything, but it was two games he had in his hands this year that we always put on franchise quarterbacks, and franchise quarterbacks come through.
Listen, I mean, when you have the ball in your hand, you know, I get it. You're right.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That's all we wanted to point out to you, cuz. It seemed like, you know, we want him to be great. Not when we get on him, cuz that's how we are. We want him to be great. We want him to come through. We know it's going to take time. But let me talk to you about your other son. He's starting to he's starting to make his little side comments, man. this stuff is getting ridiculous. What you talking about last night? Yeah, we got to play with more other players. We just running it through one person.
Yeah.
It's starting to be that point guard and big man thing, man. And I'm siding with Joe in that.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, man. You read through that stuff, and I'm not happy. I'm not happy about the way the game played. That game last night, there was something that bugged me. Did you see it?
Yeah, I seen it, cuz. But the thing with him, he for him to have a great basketball IQ, and everybody says that, he need to take that jumper to open it up.
You're right.
He's clogging it.
You're right. He's clogging it. I agree with
you. Yeah, people let him get away with that excuse. And our biggest fear with him is his team around him. Not his family, but we know how LeBron is, and we know how Rich Paul is.
Yeah, but listen, I think it's good. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Like, I think that's an issue. That will always be an issue until he takes the shot, bogging down the offense. But there was something else last night. Something else last night that really got me.
Just irritated you.
Yeah, man. It's a bigger picture. It's a bigger picture. Now, I don't want to gloss over what Jay said and what's right. Because he is saying they need to expand the offense. But part of that's on him, where he's got to be. There's two things here. Part of it's on him, where he's got to shoot. The other part of it is, they're down bodies.
Yeah. You got a light bench right now. You lost two guys for one in the deal. You got Markelle Fultz, who's MIA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're down.
So, it's like Korkmaz, right? Like, you know, I mean, he
starts last night.
Right. But because they have nobody else, right?
Yeah.
And, but the thing with him is you can't have him in the end of games because he can't defend.
Yeah. He's not a finisher.
I mean, look, against a team like Brooklyn, he can knock down some shots and is what it is.
What do you have, like 17 last night or something?
But you're not going to, like, he doesn't D up. He can't be on the floor at the end of the game.
No question. I'll tell you what, the person that can guess what really irritated you last night about that Sixer game will score a pair of tickets to see comedian Dane Cook at the Met coming up on March 30th, my birthday. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You know, it's interesting, Jason. So I'm just curious. What do you think when they talk about more tests?
I think they're going to get a little bit more involved. I think that's probably, okay, he's got spasms. He's got discomfort. Let's put him in the tube. Let's go to the MRI, the imaging, and all of those things.
Yeah, you wouldn't have done that before?
Well, maybe they did. Maybe they did at some point do that.
Would you still run a read option with them?
Well, if they knew there was a pre-existing condition and still ran the read option, then that's egregious. It's malpractice, isn't it? So you got to wonder, what is the extent of this injury? What did they know?
Could you imagine if you imperiled your future or whatever you want to call franchise quarterback, whatever, if you imperiled him?
I don't know why you would do that in his third year in this situation where it doesn't look like you're going to do much. I mean, if you do that, that is, I mean, who knew what and when is a very interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable if that's the case. That's why I was like, more tests. What's that about?
Well, I guess we'll find out more when Doug speaks tomorrow.
I mean, spasms are one thing.
Yeah, I mean,
if he had, there was talk, of week 7 and week 8, he had spasms, he was on the injury report, showed up.
Yeah, for 2 weeks like concurrently.
That, you know, if you got back issues then, you're gonna go, he's going to get an MRI.
You would think so, right?
Yeah.
And
I watched Bobby Cooney walk around here, and, you know, he's got chronic back issues.
Yeah. Well,
that just doesn't appear out of the blue.
I'm doing some digging right now, and I think I'm starting to make some headway to make some more sense of this. And once I get through my digging, I will report what I've uncovered. But I think there is more to this equation, Anthony, than meets the eye. As soon as I confirm what I think I know right now, I will let you know, and the audience know. But I think there is more to this story. And I don't think it's good. 610-632-0975. That's not just like a silly radio tease. I'm just working on something. Jimmy from Mount Holly joins us on The Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy?
Anthony, you have nothing to feel guilty about. You reacted emotionally to devastating news yesterday. And don't give these idiots license to where they think they can call and spew out stupidity, and you're going to be nice to them, and they're going to get away with it. I don't want to hear from them.
Thank you, Padre.
You know, and Jason, you said something that I totally disagree with earlier. You said this season is lost. I got on with Sal Palantonio the other night, and I pointed out that this Ram team hasn't blown anybody out since week 7. And think about the Bear game this past Sunday. They knew that the Saints had already won. And the best they could give us was two field goals and 14 first downs. And furthermore, we've beaten this St. Louis / L.A. franchise five consecutive times. And here is our second chance at Sunday Night Football. All right, the first time, you know what happened. We were heavy favorites. It was going to be a coronation. We were going to bury Dallas. This is role reversal right now. And, Anthony, to help you solve your quandary, we're Eagle fans to the end. Our star quarterback is down, who is way better than Nick Foles. I mean, now we're rooting for the backup. But let's hope we get the same result as last year, right?
It would be. Could you imagine this story? That if he leads them to the play. First of all, is it 11? Somebody told me it was 11.
I'll look it up.
So whatever it is, 11, double-digit underdog, Jim.
It went off the board yesterday
right?
for a period of time.
A double-digit underdog to the Rams. So if he beats the Rams and then they go on and make the playoffs, it would be talking about St. Nick. I mean, that would be the most. I'm moving to the North Pole, Jimmy.
And it would be more of an awesome story than last year. And think about this. For whatever we think about this stuff, this whole Hungry Dog stuff is back in full kilter. I mean, the switch went off in these guys' heads. I mean, here we are. I mean, it's uncanny. I mean, it's almost to the day, same place. That it happened, this guy is going to take over. And I'll tell you, if you think about the Rams, the best football they played was in the first month. You remember that game against Minnesota Thursday night?
Yes. And you know, the Thursday nights, the Thursday night games are tough for the road team. Minnesota travel to L.A.
Yeah, we would have had no shot to beat that Ram team, but that Ram team is gone. I mean, if you think about it, these last several weeks, I mean, they're barely winning ugly. They're not even covering. And even that 30-16 at Detroit was very deceptive, Anthony. They didn't play
I remember the game. Yeah.
Thanks, Jimmy. A great call. And the one thing that they do, though, they put up points consistently. I mean, that's what they do. If you look at their...
The Chiefs game was awesome.
Oh, it was outrageous. 54-51. Yeah. But their last bunch of games, okay, so they lost 15-6, much like the Cowboys beating New Orleans. Very low scoring game, and they got it done. But as Jimmy alluded to, they beat Detroit on the road 30-16. 54-51 was the game prior to that on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I saw the Lions game. Jimmy's right, it was deceptive.
Yeah. In the prior games, 54-51, 36-31 over Seattle, they lost to the Saints 45-35, but they beat Green Bay 29-27. That was a tight game at home. 39-10, they beat 49ers.
And, yeah, I watched the Packer game. It shouldn't have been as close. And Green Bay, for what it's worth, does not have a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
They really stymied the Rams in the first half of that game.
Yeah.
The Rams kind of pulled away. They got a late touchdown Green Bay. But for the first half, the Packers held the Rams to, I believe, 6 points.
Now, you, like me, are a big believer that sometimes when a team, like that game last week, where they go into Chicago and they lose, and at this point in the season, you go, oh, thank God that team did it before we play them, because there's the blueprint.
Yeah.
You get the intel,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Somebody else cracked the code. Now you know how to exploit what they did. Because last week, Todd Gurley in that game, 28 rushing yards in that game against the Bears.
Yeah, but the Bears are the best
good defense.
Great defense.
No question about it.
I mean, look, you know, we were talking about the Rams and some of the struggles, but they have prolific talent.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jared Goff in that game, 20-44, 180 yards, 4 interceptions, no touchdowns. A rating on the game of 19.1.
Yeah, well, I used that the other day just to talk about, you know, when, like, you got to watch the whole league because you'll see these guys struggle.
It's amazing. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEM Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, and we're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. And today's Midday Show Takeover is brought to you by Andy's Diner and Pub with 3 locations and online at andysdinerandpub.com. We do the shows there quite often. Great place. Stop on by for a great breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Let's get back to the phones right now and go to Brad in Haddon Heights on The Fanatic. How you doing, Brad?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, Brad.
Hey, you said you needed somebody to lead you. You know what I mean? I'm going to lead you real quick. Okay, I got my wife flying out to watch the Rams game this Sunday night. She's all down and out. I'm like, will you just get yourself together and stop moping around here. I want everybody to get mad and angry around here. Let's get fired up. Let's get the old school Eagles chants going. You know what I mean? Let's stop being angry. Stop being who's gonna play? Who cares? Fuck your chase shot. Let's go out there. Stop being a real fan. Stop being a real
man, great.
There you go, Brad.
Yeah, good job, Brad.
I love his wife moping around and he's going, get out there.
It's time to bring the fan base back together because it's divided again.
Yeah.
It's really a divided fan base. How can we beat the Rams if we're divided as a fan base, right? We're fighting a civil war.
Yeah, but again, nobody's playing, so. I think we're all right.
That stadium's going to be taken over by Eagle fans.
Look, I wanted to come in here today, and I wanted to be led down the right path. Because after yesterday, I had to be introspective, and I saw like the error of my ways was vanity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's one of the seven
hard thing to admit too,
deadly
by the way.
Sins, and in fact. It's the gateway to all sin.
Boy. So you reached a fork in the road last night.
I did. Leah, listen.
I got to go this way or I got to go that way?
I was down at Peroni's at the end of the show.
Gain a little perspective.
Sure.
That's a great way to gain perspective.
You saw me down at this Peroni's at the end of the show.
Oh, I did. You snagged mine. You going to drink that, dude? That's enough. Go for
it. You're keto. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Get Jason a beer, too, by the way. I know he's not going to drink it, so I'll have it.
Correct.
And I won't look like a glutton. Another one of the sins.
Yeah, it's the gateway, man. I was heading down like... Next thing you know, there's murder in my ways. Right?
Me and the wife, speaking of one of the seven deadly sins, we're at Walmart the other day just to pick up a few things, you know, pre-Christmas stuff and just get a few things. And I think our cashier was the sloth in that commercial that moved like so slow.
Oh, man.
I think she bagged every item we had in a different bag because you can't bag there. They got the little rotation thing. She's moving so slow, Aunt. And you know me, I'm like, get off the speakerphone. Let's go. You ready to go? And I was going bananas. I had to go wait in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I had to go wait in the car. I said to the wife, I said, I'll pull the car up.
Only you and I would, anybody with kids would know this because you watch the movies. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the sloth?
Yeah.
In the kids movie?
Yeah. And they just move it. It's such a, every movement is like... So pronounced slow.
Right.
It drives you. It's like, you just get there and grab it.
They had the sloth working at the DMV.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Oh, Zootopia.
Yeah. He doesn't even have kids.
How do you know that?
The girlfriend's into those kind of movies. Fiance now.
Wow.
Andrew, you should not be watching those movies.
I had to see it, man.
Wait till you have the kids because you're going to be inundated with them.
What?
Do you want to go for a birthday?
You saw Zootopia
for your old lady's birthday?
She wanted to go. It was a couple years ago, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Mikey Miss gave me a rash about taking Ange for our anniversary to the Melting Pot. You went to Zootopia for the old lady's birthday?
It's not like I got money.
No.
You want a coupon?
No. You're supposed to go to the movies and not see an animated Disney kids
movie.
But
it wasn't my birthday.
So it was her choice.
It was her choice. I go. She goes, let's go to the movies. I want to see Zootopia. And I'm like, all right. It's not like I wanted to see the movie.
Like you went in there. I almost got into a fight at a kid's movie.
I remember this story. I remember this story.
Yeah. What? You almost got in a fight at a kid's movie?
Because the two guys were upset with your kid, right?
Yeah. So these two dudes.
Oh, man.
They go to the movies together. These two chooches go to the movies together to see a kid's movie, right?
Do you remember what it was offhand?
Kobu or whatever.
Kobu?
What was it?
I don't know. Kobu. I thought that was one of your buddies.
Well, I see one anime movie, now you think I know them all.
So, whatever. So Massimo is, you know, tapping his feet. Because like, that's what
they're antsy.
That's what they do. Okay, that's why everybody in the theater has kids, and they all go, and they all tap their feet, and they throw popcorn, whatever it is going on, and the parents don't say anything, because they're all kids.
That's kids. There's an expectation.
So these two dudes, got to be 25 years old, are there together, two chooches together, sitting next to each other, watching this kid's movie. And they lean over, and he says, can you please have your kid stop?
What?
Yes. Can you please? You got breaking news?
All right. Yeah, we do, actually.
Bro!
Just looking it up. Eagles quarterback, this is from Adam Schefter. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz underwent a scan on his back Wednesday that was inconclusive and was scheduled to undergo an MRI today on his back to help the diagnose an issue that has plagued him for several weeks, per source. Wentz unlikely to play Sunday night versus the Rams.
Okay, are you telling me that he's had a chronic back issue?
I've received information, Anthony, that this has gone on longer than just this past week. That Carson Wentz, in fact, did have some sort of fracture or broken bone or something in his back of note. Earlier this season, it was discovered. Yeah. I don't know that Carson was notified of this.
What? You're telling me that Carson has a fracture, has been playing with a fracture in his back, and the team didn't tell him?
That's the information that I'm receiving, that he was not aware of the depth of the issue in his back.
First of all, there's a million things wrong with that. Number one, being a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. All right? Like, you can't withhold that kind of information from anybody, from a player.
Mm-hmm.
But that's outrageous.
Yeah, but he's been dealing with this for several weeks. It was known earlier in the season that he had this back issue. Maybe they thought he could play through it or he couldn't do more damage. I'm not sure.
You got to help me here, because forget about the Nick Foles stuff and all. We got to talk about this issue. Are you telling me that they knew he had a fracture in his back and Doug Peterson left him in the game against the Saints? When they're getting trounced 48-7, are you telling me that he has a fracture in his back and Doug Peterson runs a read option with him at least one every week?
The one thing I don't know is if Doug Peterson also knew. But what I do know is that somebody knew and did not either inform the quarterback or the coaching staff. I'm not sure.
Wait a second. The head coach doesn't know the franchise quarterback has a fracture in his back?
He probably knew.
The most he probably knew.
That
a second.
Well, maybe he did, and that's egregious if he did.
How could he not know?
But what I'm reporting is that this issue has been longstanding, and that there was knowledge of a back issue beyond just spasms earlier this season. And from what I am told, that was not relayed to Carson Wentz. Where this goes from here remains to be seen.
What?
And this isn't the only medical issue with this team. There's other medical issues as well.
How could he have a fractured back and not know it?
Well, he's got a high threshold for pain. You don't know how the injury manifests itself.
It's a fracture in his back, and they don't tell him?
Well, you think fracturing your back, you can't even move. But
No. I'm not talking about a broken back. I'm talking about you have a micro fracture, whatever it is. But you don't tell the patient?
Yeah. Well, you have to. It's your duty to do so. So we'll see how this plays out. We'll see how this information plays out.
Jason,
I don't like the timeline of how everything's happening now either.
Wow, that could be the most egregious thing I've ever heard of.
If the coach did in fact know of a fracture in the back and utilized said quarterback in the way that he has, it is just absolutely hideous decision making, both for the present and long-term future.
I've never heard anything like this.
It's crazy. But these kind of things do happen.
When? I never heard of this.
Maybe happening as we speak.
They tell the franchise quarterback, they withhold that he's got a fracture in his back, and the coach is running him?
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.